Who is God? What does it mean to be actually made in His image? How do I practice my sexuality? What's the big deal about gender and why does it matter anyway? Hey, what's going on, Central Valley Chi Alpha fam? In today's episode, we'll be answering these questions as we dive into the Bible to discover God's original design for human sexuality. Let's talk about it.
We are CVXA, a student faith movement for all nations across the Central Valley College campuses. We believe in a Holy Spirit-led life filled with real devotion, real brotherhood, and real responsibility. Our prayer for you is that you will learn and grow through today's podcast.
In today's episode, we're going to explore the topic of human sexuality from an eternal perspective grounded in the teachings of the Bible. In a world where there are diverse and often conflicting views on gender, sexual practices, and overall human sexuality, it can be overwhelming to try to navigate through all the information without a solid foundation. That's why we're going to look to scriptures to uncover God's original design for human sexuality. Now, before we begin, the book of Romans chapter 13, verse 7, the Apostle Paul instructs us to give honor and to whom honor is due. That is the reason why I want to take a moment to honor an incredible woman of God by the name of Dr. Linda Seiler. Much of today's content that I'm going to be sharing with you is from her research, her life, and her ministry. For decades, Dr. Linda Seiler felt like a man trapped in a female body and was exclusively attracted to women. She encountered Jesus Christ and was transformed by his love and power. Today, Linda is content in her female body and wholly attracted to men. She feels called to equip believers to reach the LGBT community. In her recent book, Transformation, A Former Transgender Responds to LGBTQ, Linda shares candidly from her own story, coupled with biblical theology of sexuality and the latest research regarding the origins of same-sex attractions and gender dysphoria. Dr. Linda offers a unique, compassionate perspective as one who has struggled with her own gender identity and sexuality. You can find more about her research, her life, and her ministry in her book, also on RestoryMinistries.com, which is a ministry she helps lead. Both of the links to her ministry and her book are in the bio of this podcast. We hope you enjoy. Now, let's talk about the foundation of this whole topic. The foundation is simply this. You were designed on purpose. You were not an accident. You were designed on purpose. Psalms 139 tells us this, beginning in verse 1. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts or even when I'm far away. You know me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day has passed. There is so much why behind the way that you were designed. And God knows the complexities of how you were designed. So as we go into today's podcast, I want to help answer four questions that will help us give a better understanding of our sexuality that was given by God. We're going to be answering four questions in our podcast. The first question we're going to be asking and answering is this: who is God? The second is, how are we as the human race made in his image? The Bible talks about how we are made in the image of God. The third question is, being made in God's image, what does this mean for our sexual practice? How do we go about conducting ourselves? And the final question we'll be answering is, being that we are made in God's image, what does this mean for gender identity and sexual orientation? So again, we're going to be answering, who is God? How are we made in his image? Being made in his image, what does this mean for our sexual practice? And being made in his image, what does this mean for our gender identity and our sexual orientation? Who is God?
Now, before we talk about who is God, we first must understand that God is a paradox. Now, a paradox is defined as a statement that is seemingly contradictory or opposed to common sense, and when investigated or explored, may prove to be true or founded. In other words, a paradox is a statement or a situation that appears to be both contradictory or impossible. Yet upon closer inspection, it may uncover underlying truth. Now, having said that, I want us to consider this passage. Deuteronomy 6:4 says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Now, when we read that same passage, now replacing it with it written in actual Hebrew language, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, Elohim," which means gods, "the Lord is Ehad," which means one. E-C-H-A-D, Ehad in Hebrew is one. So in essence, what it's saying is he is three, yet he is one in essence. We see this in our understanding of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity, or the three, are in one, meaning they're three distinct persons existing as one being. This is the reason why it says the Lord is one, Ehad, one single entity made up of multiple parts, not three gods, one God existing in three distinct persons. This is what set the Hebrews apart from every other nation around them. All the other nations were worshiping multiple gods, polytheism. But when you come and say there's only one God, that is what set them apart. Now, understand that God is a paradox helps us understand that there is a mystery about God that is truthful. Now, having said that, here's three truths about God. Number one, he is creator. Genesis 1:1 says this, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Number two, he is a relational being. Genesis 1:26 says this, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Now notice that the scripture specifically says, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." Why didn't it use a singular word? Why did it use a plural word? Because our image represented God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And essentially what it's saying is God is not himself. He's not even alone. We are designed to be in a relationship because God himself is a relational being. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are in perfect union with each other. And this is the good news of the gospel, is that it's not just about us not going to hell, but we are being invited into a community of holy and divine love between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So far we talked about that he is creator, he is a relational being, and the third thing is that within this Trinity, there is unity in diversity. There is perfect harmony between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Between them three, there is no jealousy, no envy, no insecurities. There is a perfect union between them all. And we are invited into this deep fellowship. This is why in John 10:30, Jesus specifically says, "The Father and I are one." Or in John 10:38, he says, "If you've seen me do this work, believe the evidence of the miracles that I have done. Even if you don't believe me, then you will understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." He would further go on to tell us in John 14:26, he tells us about the Holy Spirit. He says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you everything that I have said." In John 14:31, in the Amplified Version, it says, "But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know, would be convinced that I love the Father and that I do all what the Father has instructed me to do. I act in full agreement with his orders." So we see in these scriptures that Jesus is teaching us that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit flow in beautiful unity, perfect harmony, and eternal love. And this is what we are invited into, This is a beautiful thing. So, what do we know? We know this. God is creator. God is relational. We see that in the Trinity. And that there is perfect unity within the diversity of this Trinity. Simply put, who is God? God is a relational creator who welcomes us to join the divine community of holy love that exists in unity in diversity. Now that we know who God is, how are we made in his image? We're going to take these same three qualities: God is creator, God is relational, and there is unity in the diversity of God, and show us how we reflect his image by exhibiting his attributes. Now know that we are not God, but we do mirror his image. God is creator. Therefore, we are procreative beings. Genesis 1:28 says this: Then God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. We don't create, but we do have the capacity to procreate or reproduce, thus reflecting the attributes of God. God is a relational being. Therefore, we are relational beings. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we read the full account of all creation. And at the end of the seventh day, we read that God finished it all and he said, It is good. Now, after creating everything, the first time that we see him say that something is not good is in the context of man being alone. Genesis 2:18 says this: God said, It is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper, a companion. This is why relationship is so important in humanity. We were designed to reflect him. Therefore, community is important to us. When a husband and wife procreate and have children, they actually welcome these children into a community of holy and divine love. We reflect the image of God through marriage. We were designed to live in relational community. This is why we in Chi Alpha, we value real brotherhood. Because when men and women come together with the purpose of knowing God and making him known and to live in community, we reflect the very heart of God. Now let's talk about there is unity in diversity. How do we reflect that attribute? Well, we reflect his unity and our diversity in this, Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Male and female, united in humanity, yet diverse in gender. Male and female. There are different attributes of God that are expressed through male and female. God is the source of all things male and female. He purposely put things into human context so we can get a better understanding of who he is. Consider these two passages that help illustrate this. Luke 13:34, Jesus said, O Jerusalem, I long to gather you as hens gather her chicks. Or in Isaiah 66, it says this about God communicating with Jerusalem. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, Jerusalem. Both of these illustrate a nurturing aspect about God that is often found in mothers. Again, God is the source of all things male and female. Now, if we look on a broader scale, we see that we as humans are one, but we all have different ethnicities. So there is unity in our humanity, yet diversity because of our ethnicity. So we mirror God in who we are and as existing as a community. Simply put, we reflect the Trinity in community. So let's summarize about what we just learned. We are made in the image of God by, one, we are procreational, reflecting that he is a creator. Two, we are relational because he is a relational being. And three, we exhibit unity within diversity. Between the diversity of genders, between male and female. This is how we reflect the image of God. Now, how does our marriage reflect the image of God? Marriage between a man and a woman reflects the very image of the Trinity. Genesis 2:24 says, Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now, that word one we learned earlier is echad, which means one in essence. So everything we see in the natural regarding marriage is a shadow of a spiritual reality. Essentially, what it's saying is it's foreshadowing our ultimate marriage, Christ marrying his bride, which is the church. This is why the author Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 30 through 32, "And we are members of his, Christ's, body. As the scripture says, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one." So, marriage between a man and a woman illustrates Jesus' exclusive commitment to his people. I have been happily married to my wife, Vanessa, for years. When Vanessa was single, there was not an exclusive commitment to me. But the moment that we got engaged and the moment that we got married, when she said, "I do," she was saying, "Jamil, I am completely yours and I will say no to any other lovers because you are completely mine and I am completely yours." And so in the same way, marriage between a man and a woman illustrates Jesus's exclusive commitment to his people. Now, what about the single people? Singleness to the Lord is a reflection of God's all-inclusive invitation to all that would be willing to come to him. In other words, marriage is a reflection of an exclusive covenant saying there is only one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus. Singleness is a reflection of God's all-inclusive love, meaning all that shall come, all that is willing to repent, may they come to Jesus. And so both marriage and singleness reflect the very nature of God. Now that we have a biblical understanding of who God is and how we're made in his image, let's answer the question, what does this mean for our sexual practice? When God created our sexuality, he created it with the vision of reflecting the mystery of the Trinity. His ultimate goal is that redeemed humans would be able to host his presence and invite others to join in the divine community of his holy love. So this is what it boils down to. Any sexual practice that does not reflect the image of God is forbidden. Remember how we talked about how God is creator and we are procreational. God is relational, therefore we are relational. God exhibits unity within diversity and we reflect him in the same way. Now let's take these same truths and work backwards and let's see how this impacts our sexual practice. Number one, we exhibit unity in diversity. We reflect God, meaning unity and diversity, within heterosexual marriage between a man and a woman in covenant forever. This is why God hates divorce, because it breaks the unity that exists in that diversity. God will never want to divorce himself from us. Divorce is never an option for him because the Trinity will never divorce themselves, and there will never be in disunity. In the same way, anything that breaks the principle of unity and diversity is forbidden. This is why bestiality, meaning having sex with animals, is forbidden. There's too much diversity. We are not of the same essence. Remember, we talked about the Trinity being three in one, three distinct persons in one, Ichad, which is one in essence. Being with an animal is outside of our essence, our nature, our human nature. This is also why homosexual practice is forbidden. There is too much of the same. A male with another male or a female with another female cannot image unity in diversity. Now let's talk about how we are relational beings. There are things that are forbidden if they are not relational in nature. This is why adultery is forbidden. Adultery means someone having sex with someone who is married. This is why fornication is forbidden. Fornication means to have sex with someone whom you are not married to. These are both forbidden because the relationship is not exclusive and not in a covenant relationship. Again, the word covenant means agreement to be exclusively together. So in simple words, adultery is when you have sex with someone who is married. If someone is married, you break that relationship in marriage. Fornication is just having sex with anyone. Either way, God says this is forbidden because there's no relationship, there's no covenant, there's no exclusivity. Why is this forbidden? Because God wants an exclusive covenant with his people. We reflect him. This is also why rape is forbidden, because God would never use you or discard you. This is why pornography is forbidden, because there is no relationship involved. It's just you and a screen. This is why masturbation is forbidden, because it's selfish and it's something that we do in isolation and there is no relationships. These practices are not in line of what it means to be made in the image of our relational creator. Now let's talk about procreational. Any sexual act that doesn't have the potential for procreation would be forbidden by God. Now, I'm not talking about if you can't have babies. There's some people that, for whatever reason, God, their womb is not able to procreate. We're not talking about that. We're talking about any sexual act that doesn't have the potential for procreation is forbidden by God. Again, this is why bestiality and homosexuality is forbidden. But this is also why pedophilia is forbidden. Children are not sexually mature to reproduce. This is one of many reasons why this act of pedophilia is wrong. Now that we have a better understanding of how we are made in the image of God and how this impacts our sexual practice, what are the implications of our gender identity and sexual orientation? Now that we have a better understanding of how the image of God reflects our sexual practice, let's talk about the implications of our gender identity and our sexual orientation in light of being made in God's image. In other words, why does gender really matter? Why can't I just change my gender? Why can't I just get a sex change? What's the big deal? Because gender is sacred. That word sacred means it's blessed, it's dedicated, it's holy, and it's set apart. Satan is out to destroy gender because he knows, as we learned earlier in this podcast, that our gender is linked to us being made in the image of God. He wants to dismantle the image of God in all humanity. Sexuality goes beyond gender stereotypes. Our gender is literally a reflection of God and that he is never changing. Hebrews 13:8 says this, Jesus Christ is eternally changeless, always the same yesterday, today, and forever. You will always be XX chromosome if you're a female, XY chromosome if you're a male. No matter how much people change their external, take hormones, they will forever be made in the image of God and how he created them, male or female, because gender images the unchanging nature of God. As we conclude this episode, I just want to remind us that God intentionally put you together in your mother's womb. Recalling the psalm that we read in the beginning of the podcast, Psalm 139. O Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know me when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts or even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. Again, just want to confirm and just reaffirm that God has made you so unique and beautiful in the gender that he has designed you in. And he was so intentional to do so. So where do we go from here? If there are any areas of your sexuality that are not yielded to Christ, this is an opportunity to repent and begin your journey of being made whole, as all of us are on a journey to wholeness. Now, if you're listening to this podcast, and you may struggle with same-sex attraction, here are a few things that I would like to share with you as you're on your journey. Number one is that experiencing same-sex attraction is not a sin, though acting on such desires is a sin. James 1:14 through 15 tells us, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and sin is allowed to grow. It gives birth to death. All believers experience temptation that must be resisted, as we are instructed in 1 Corinthians 10:13. But rather than focusing on our fallen desires, our goal in life is to know Jesus and to live a life completely yielded to him, as we see in John 17:3 and Galatians 5:17. I would encourage you to connect with the Lord Jesus through daily reading of the Bible and consistent prayer. Pursue the baptism in the Holy Spirit and pray in tongues on a regular basis to strengthen your connection with the Lord and release those burdens into him, as we're instructed to in 1 Corinthians 14:4 and Jude 20. We all experience deceitful desires as we are on a journey of sanctification, dying to our old self, with his deceitful desires. Sanctification simply means to look more like Jesus. It's the process. We are being made new in our attitudes of our minds. We're putting on our new self and being created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness, as we see in Ephesians 4, 20 through 22 to 24. Transformation is a lifelong journey of being conformed to the full image of Christ. Now, here are a few resources I would want to recommend to you. The first one is called a documentary, Such Were Some of You. It's a free documentary available on YouTube, which is also, the link is in the bio. But it's a full testimonies of Christians that have struggled with same-sex attraction and have walked in transformation through Jesus Christ. We also recommend people check out Restory Ministries and a website called Restored Hope Network. Both of these websites help connect you with more resources, testimonies, and wisdom from a community of men and women who have been transformed in this area. Now, I do not know where you are at as a listener, but I do know this. You are wonderfully made in the image of God, and there is healing and transformation for every part of your soul through Jesus Christ. All right, CVXA fam, that is all we have for today's podcast. Remember, we are a Holy Spirit-led community that reflects the image of God on our campus, our nation, and the world. We are called to make disciples of all nations. Let's continue to reach our campuses for Jesus Christ.
Thanks for receiving and applying what you learned today. Now go make disciples of all nations. Remember, you were born to reproduce. Go find, feed, and fight for the lost lambs of God on your campus.